Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and we discuss it in detail. This week, maybe an issue for the more mature readers, 17 and older, perhaps.
As Are we mature?
No. Sex Criminals, number 7 from Matt Fraction and what's the guy, Zdarsky? Chip Zdarsky.
Chip Zdarsky.
With a bunch of other people helping out. And to be honest, I think I read like the first two issues of this series. And then with all the craziness that was happening in my life, I have not read anything since then. So what is going on? What has been going on in the world of Sex Criminals?
Zdarsky. Well, you know about John.
Yeah, John and Susie get together. They have orgasms together and time stops. And they get into this idea that they're going to go and rob a bank.
Right. And when they attempted to rob the bank, they discovered that they're not the only people who can do this.
Right.
And a woman and her two goons, a woman that they have called Kegelface.
Yeah.
basically showed up and beat them up.
For the money, or to prevent them from robbing the bank?
Not entirely sure. Kegelface seems to have an additional motivator that we haven't got 100% clear on.
Okay.
Also, importantly, I missed issue 6.
Okay. Well, apparently this book is dedicated to issue 6.
This book is dedicated to issue 6.
That's what it says there in the fine print. Sex Criminals number 7. This book is dedicated to issue 6. I think, in all honesty, this is what happens when two people get off their meds and get to do whatever they want. And I say that in the most kindest way, because I don't know if Chip Zdarsky or Matt Fraction are on any kind of medication.
Right.
But these guys are a little bit strange and a little bit weird, and it bothers me a little bit.
And interestingly, I did not realize until this issue that John's last name is Johnson and Susie's last name is Dixon.
There you go.
I'm not saying that there's a subtle naming congruence there.
So have they been running from these sex criminals the entire time? Or have they been getting into some other antics in...
The last thing that I know that I read was they ended up in a fight and Kegelface showed up outside in the real world and then suddenly disappeared because she is watching them for some reason.
Susie and John were getting into a fight.
Yes, Susie and John got into a fight with Kegelface and her goons. John and Susie escaped. Mm-hmm. Also, there was something about a Starfleet uniform that was really inappropriate.
Yeah. Well, apparently they are having some rough times because Susie's all depressed and upset and runs into her friend Rachel and tries to explain about her little power.
Right.
And then John steps in and says, "Baby, I'm so sorry about everything. Will you take me back?" And then we get John's backstory. So
a little more of John's backstory, yes.
Yeah, and I found his backstory in this issue really, really fascinating. And granted, there's some language that, again, people who are not mature are going to probably find things like "come world" to be a little bit jarring.
It is not a book for people under 18 or people who are easily offended by
dick jokes.
Inappropriateness. Yeah.
Yeah.
And some of the inappropriateness isn't, you know, we're not even talking like highbrow inappropriateness. Some of it is, you know, dick and fart jokes.
No, it's all dick and fart jokes. I mean, there's no highbrow humor here. And that's why I said these guys are crazy, because they just, I mean, they just let it all go. I mean, when John is talking about being in the dark room or in the bathroom and having fantasies, you know, he steps out of a stall or he's in the dark room and he's surrounded by all these naked women dancing around him. And it's just like, okay, well, that's what he's seeing. But I kind of found John's backstory. Now, who knows if he's being 100% honest here? He could be saying anything to Susie to get back with her. But I just found his story a little fascinating about how he got to look at people. Instead of being a perv, he went and really examined people and really got to focus on what motivated them. And you know, the character of a young, I don't know, 13-year-old, 9th grade, 14-year-old, 15-year-old kid, really kind of experiencing what it means to have empathy in light of his fantastic powers is really kind of nice.
It is. And the thing that's interesting is he really kind of walks up to a precipice.
Yes.
Of that could be horrible.
Oh, yeah. That I mean, I think really, really the implication horrible. Was that once he stopped time, he was going to chase down and do something inappropriate to this girl that he was in love with. But then he was like, no, that's not appropriate, and went a different way. I also find it kind of fascinating that, and again, I might need to go back and read some previous issues, and I probably should and probably will. But I find it interesting that all these pictures he was taking, he was on the high school yearbook club, all these pictures that he took, he got nothing out of.
They
That either means, you know, he's moving so fast that, you know, light isn't able to be exposed correctly or whatever it is. But I found that just a little, of all the insanity that goes on in this world of sex criminals, that is one that little nugget that I could grab a hold of and say, oh, this is a fascinating little bit of science trying to explain what's going on. So I found that I found that little backstory of him as a kid really fascinating.
It's really interesting. And he makes the point that, you know, he, as a kid, learned the wrong lesson, but now he's trying to do the right thing. And of course, he still does the wrong
thing. Well, yes, and he does the wrong thing by breaking into Kegelface's house and discovering
her real name, by the way, is Myrtle Spurge.
Myrtle Spurge.
And he actually says that name, it's almost enough for me to forgive her.
Yeah.
Myrtle Spurge.
And he finds her sex dungeon. And in it,
which, oh my God, how much research do these guys have to go do?
I don't think you have to go too far. I mean, type in Game of Thrones with safe search off and you're going to find a throne made of dildos, I'm sure. Because that's what's in the sex dungeon.
Adult tags, kids.
Yeah, I'll put an explicit tag on this.
Probably.
But in addition to the sex dungeon with all the sex toys and whatnot going on, he also finds a file cabinet where the sex police, as they've dubbed them.
Yes.
And it's not like they're an official legal governmental organization. These appear to just be people that are doing whatever people do. And he finds all these files, and then one of these goons comes in and they get in a fight and
that's one of the goons from the previous issue.
Takes the guy down with a thing.
A Darth Maul lightsaber.
Yes, that is appropriate
of an adult nature.
Yeah, man. So now they're in trouble.
Well, they've been in trouble. The fact that he walked into her house was going to cause trouble.
Yeah.
And, you know, he beats this guy up and leaves him tied up down by the railroad tracks. And the fascinating part is when he shows up to explain to Susie what happened, Susie's roommate is still right there. So there's this huge exposition scene and he's like, oh, hey, Rachel. She's like, hey.
Well, she's already been told by Susie what goes on, and Susie has proved it to her of what goes on. So I don't know. I mean, the first part with Susie, I just really couldn't, because she kept talking, breaking the fourth wall and talking to the reader directly. That was a little weird. And then and I was just like, is this what the whole issue is going to be about? And then when we jumped into John's backstory and we started to get into the conspiracy side of it, that's when it started to make a lot more sense. And that's when it became a much more interesting issue for me. First half, I really couldn't get into. Second half was great. The third act with the sex dungeon and the sex police people, I thought was fantastic. The epilogue in the letters section is just disturbing.
Don't read the, no.
Sex tip. Don't feel bad if your partner needs to touch themselves and your best friend in order to get off.
Don't do it.
Sex tip. Having sex in new locations can be exciting, like when Neil Armstrong effed the moon.
Blindfold your partner, tease them with light touches, and then move to a new city.
Sex tip. Shower sex is great because you can fantasize that you're having sex out in the rain, but the rain is hot because these are the end times. Oh, man, that's what I'm saying. What's wrong with these people? On the one hand, I really appreciate it when creators can sit down and say, hey, we're just going to let go. And you and I do that sometimes, too, where we just get a little crazy. And it's just like anything goes, not inappropriate, but just, you know, anything goes and we're having fun. And we know that we're having fun and we know that we're being silly, stupid. And it pays off because, you know, audiences like it. They like it when we're silly and have long, crazy discussions. And that's great. That's exactly what this issue is. So if you – I think if you're someone that is open-minded. I think that's the main thing. I think you have to be super open-minded about this series. If you're super open-minded and you're not easily offended, you know, this book is a crazy fun ride. I think the art is good. There's no nudity in here. Well, I mean, there's a little bit of nudity here. You see a few breasts around, and there's the, you know, giant dildos. But other than that, I mean, there's not like, it's not sexually explicit.
And I think would agree.
You know, I think people would enjoy it.
It's definitely for adult readers, but I guess it's that whole thing of prurient and lewd such. I think there's enough story here to where that content makes sense with the story that they're telling. It's not like, you know, back in the 90s when it'd be, here's an X-Men comic, but we've drawn in all of this content that's inappropriate. We're going to sell it for $9.99 with a special cover. You know, I fell for that once. It was a terrible book.
What book was this?
It was called Sex Men. What else would they call it?
Oh, is that from, what was that, a Parody Press?
Yes, it was just...
those were funny. For a while, some of those were funny, like Bat Babe and Bat Babe and Super...
Wolver Broad.
Wolver Broad, but I forget what the Supergirl... I forget what the Supergirl one was. But, you know, those were actually, those three issues, the Bat Babe, Super Broad, and Wolver Broad, those three were super... well done, and then it kind of fell off after that, after people realized that after the creators or whoever was running that line realized that people were into it more for the sex than the...
They did a fourth Doctor parody called Doctor Hooters, which was... it was not good. It was not good. She wore the scarf.
And nothing else?
And pretty much that's it. Well, I think she had the hat, too. But most importantly, that is not this.
No, that. No.
So if you're an adult and you've been avoiding sex criminals because you're afraid that this is that is not this. This is something else. That could be this, but it's not, and it isn't. But this is not, so it wasn't.
Yeah, I think Adam Hughes did the cover to Bat Babe number one.
I think he did Dr. Hooters, too.
That's crazy times, man.
Yeah, you can go look those up on the Intar.
No, well, apparently I'm doing a search, and the only thing that comes up initially, under the image search, I can find two images.
Four?
Where one is Spoon versus Bat Babe, and the other one is Bat Babe with
Spoon.
with the Adam Hughes cover, but that's from eBay. But when you do a search for Bat Babe, all you get is the Dark Knighty. Bat Babe, the Dark Knighty, which apparently is some movie that came out in 2009.
Yeah, that's that one with the thing. That girl who also did Spider Babe and Lord of the G-Strings.
Yeah, that Cinemax stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
She's an actress.
Hey, Bat Babe the Dark Knighty's got a 2.7 rating.
The Dark Knighty is actually the cleverest thing ever. I mean, seriously, think about that for a moment. That's like... four levels of interesting. I love that title. I'm going to go and watch that movie.
I'm sure you could probably find it. It looks like she's done a heck of a lot of other movies in this line, too. What do we have here? Well, I'm not going to go into those titles. The art is fine in this book. Going back to the book, the art is fine. I thought it was good. I like the coloring. I like the special effects that go in there.
Yeah, the coloring is awesome. Zdarsky has this thing that he does where his characters manage to look like real people.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where, you know, John and Susie are not particularly super attractive protagonists, which is interesting. No.
Yeah.
As much as I love like a Jamie McKelvey, Jamie McKelvey's people are all like super gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And John has like a big nose, and the whole first part of the issue is Susie feeling fat and bloated and freakish. And you can see it in the way she's drawn, and then she goes out and, you know, is fine for the rest of the issue. But you can still see she's heavier than she has been in previous issues because she's retaining water and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. So some clarifications. It wasn't Parody Comics. It was Spoof Comics. Did I say Spoof earlier? I can't remember.
I can't remember if you said Spoof or Parody, but anyway, I'll tell you.
Spoof Comics. Issue number zero, Imp Unity for Impunity.
I get it.
Then issue number one, which was Spider Femme, That was an Adam Hughes cover.
Does whatever a spider.
Written by Fred Hembeck.
Hembeck.
Yep. Then you had Bat Babe, which was issue number 2. That was covered by Adam Hughes, Fred Hembeck doing the pencils and the writing. And then Henry Martinez also doing the art. Then Wolverbroad was number 3. Adam Hughes' artist, Jim Ballant, was the inker and penciler. It doesn't say who was the writer on that one. And then when you get into Super Babe, it just has Adam Hughes as the cover, inker, and pencils, and doesn't have who was writing it. I think at this point they realize that we can only go so far with this gag, and people were starting to treat it like a certain other company that people tend to use not their names in on the covers. Issue number 5 was Daredame. And then you went into X-Babes and Justice Broads. It was... Fantastic Femmes and Hobo.
What?
Those were the titles, and it just kept going downhill for there. I forget how many issues they did in that series.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
anyway,
dude.
There you go. Those are weird times when you talk about sex in comics. And we've had conversations before on the Major Spoilers podcast about sex in comics. In fact, we had a whole issue dedicated to that topic where we talked Penthouse comics and the actual standalone Penthouse comics, as well as the comics that appeared in Penthouse and Playboy. And
Playhouse and Penthouse.
We may have even talked about spoof comics at one point.
I know we talked about
the Folios series, Xenophile or whatever it was.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess I don't see those anymore. I don't see those kind of comics anymore, but I guess there's, it used to be that Previews had the adult comics in there in the main catalog. And now I guess you have to have a separate ordering catalog in order to get the sexy fun time stuff.
Yes, and I think kind of with good reason.
Oh, yeah, definitely, especially with more kids being able to pick those up. And now, you know, at our local Hastings, they have the Previews catalog just out so people can pick it up and order it. So definitely something you don't want a 7-year-old picking up and flipping into the Eros comics section and going, "Hey, Dad, what does this mean?" Although, don't let them pick up Sex Criminals number 7.
Oh, Lord Almighty.
It does say right on the back, for adults, duh.
Although it might be okay if someone's just reading it to you. No. Wrong, Matt Fraction. Wrong, sir.
It's, I don't know. I found it fascinating, but not from the titillation factor of it. Right?
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, it's not because, ooh, there's boobies and sexy and dick jokes. There's some actual story in here beyond that upper crust of sex. And you really shouldn't have crusty sex.
No. Wrong. Bad. Oh, I'm frightened of you. I'm not speaking.
I'm just saying.
La, 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 la.
So what's your bottom line on this book?
I like it. It's an interesting sort of thing. And
they've got several sex books coming out from Image Comics, right? They have Space Cadet or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. They've got Sex Criminals, and I thought there was one more that was somewhat on the on that side that Image had out.
Sex.
Oh, Sex, just by itself, Sex.
Just plain. Yeah, it's just
of
Sex.
Of those three, where does this one rank?
This is the best of those.
Okay.
I agree.
What is that? It wasn't Space Cadet, but no. What is the name of that one? It's
Space Cadet
with crap it. What's his name? Who does the Shadow?
Howard Chaykin.
Yeah, yeah.
Satellite Sam.
Satellite Sam. That's what it is. Yeah.
Satellite Sam has the same writer as this book.
Yeah, I know. And you think this one's better than that?
Yes, but that one's still good. That one has the historical aspect to it, and it's. Chaykin's art is a different sort of thing than Zdarsky. Zdarsky's art is Patton Oswalt telling you jokes and being, you know, clever and funny. And Chaykin's art is Larry David making you uncomfortable for half an hour, still funny, funny in a different way, not necessarily, you know, less entertaining by any means, but just kind of a whole nother country.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Next week, as we run down the list, I was really surprised that they had so many comic books come out the week after the San Diego Comic-Con. And this week was medium size. Next week looks to be relatively small for comics that are coming out. Now, of course, we're looking at an advanced list of comics from the publishers, and this would probably change closer to next week. But Dark Horse Comics has BPRD Hell on Earth number 122, Brain Boy Men from Gestalt number 4. That's what it says.
Gestalt. I know. It's Brian Boy.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer season 10 number 6, Second Chance at Sarah hardcover, Star Wars Darth Maul Son of
Moog
Dathomir.
Dathomir.
Witchfinder Mysteries of Upland number 3. They've got less than a dozen books coming out next week. DC really? Comics has they've got 1 2 3 4 5 6 7
week?
8 9 10. No, it's like third week.
I wonder why.
Yeah,
is it a holiday week?
No, not next week. That's 2 weeks. That's like 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now.
Is it the middle of freaking August?
It's the middle of freaking August and everybody's going back to school. Nobody has time to read comic books. That's the
problem. I wonder if this is the week that's affected by the fact that they were all at a thingy.
No, because you got to have that stuff ready to ship months ahead of time or ready to go a long time ahead of time. So DC Comics has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 3, 4, 5, 26 books coming out. Some of those are collected editions like the Unwritten Volume 2 Apocalypse number 8.
Volume 2 Apocalypse.
And then what else do they have? Ooh, Multiversity. Wait a minute. That doesn't come out. When does Multiversity come out? Infinite Crisis Fight for the Multiverse number 2. What?
Oh.
What is this? I thought we were done with Infinite Crisis. I thought Fight for the Multiverse was where you had like Batman from Dracula World and Superman from The Last Nail all fighting it out. What is Infinite Crisis Fight for the Multiverse about?
Don't know. I haven't actually read that issue. I wonder if it's when is Band-Aid month?
Oh, that's not until next April. Let's see what it says here. This is what it says for number 1. In the tradition of Injustice Gods Among Us, a new video game sensation makes its comics debut, developed by Turbine and WBIE Games. Infinite Crisis brings together unique visions of the DC heroes. Oh, so this is a game tie-in. This is a video game tie-in. Batman and Robin number 34 comes out. Robin Rises tie-in. There's a couple of Batman Arkham Unhinged trade paperbacks that arrive. Batman Eternal number 20. Batman Incorporated trade paperback. Batwoman number 34. Brightest Day Omnibus hardcover. Fables 143. Green Lantern New Guardians 134. Harley Quinn number 0. The Director's Cut second printing. So they've got even fewer books coming out next week because of these trade paperbacks and reprints.
That's really
weird. Multiversity number 1 does come out next week. You better go in and jump in there and grab that before Chris does that.
Multiversity, we want to do that for our dueling
room? Yeah. Multiversity number 1.
Done and done, Multiversity.
Just make sure that Chris hasn't already grabbed it. That
by
guy.
Morrison. Multiversity by Grant Morrison.
It's got Detective Chimp and a bunch more.
And you'll probably see Adam Strange.
And probably Booster Gold.
Ah, that's stinky Chris already. Stinky.
He already stinkied it up.
He did.
All right.
How dare he? His face.
Over at IDW Publishing, Little Nemo Returns to Slumberland number 1. That's a subscription. Oh. We'll grab that one anyway. Let's do Little Nemo Return to Slumberland number 1 from IDW Publishing.
Little Nemo.
All I know is that these lists next week look really short. Judge Dredd number 22. My Little Pony and Friends Forever. My Little Pony, Friends Forever, number 8. Samurai Jack, number 11. I've been drinking. Star Slammers Remastered, number 6. Super Secret Crisis War, Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, number 1. Timnit Adventures, 2014.
Timnit.
Transformers Robots in Disguise, number 32. Dawn of the Autobots. And X-Files. Oh, I need to go back and read the first issue on this. X-Files Year Zero, number 1. But next week, X-Files Year Zero, number 2 comes out. Image Comics has Dark Engine number 2, Fade Out number 1, Genius number 3, Manifest Destiny number 9, Savage Dragon 197, Trees number 4, Umbral number 8, and Wicked and Divine number 3. Wow, only the third issue there. That's crazy. Really?
That's weird.
Unless that's a reprint. I thought we read issue like 3. But we do issue 2. Holy crap. I don't even know what we do on this show anymore.
I can't even remember.
Only third issue. I would expect that to have been out to like number 4 or 5 or something like that. Marvel Comics has the all-new Ghost Rider number 6, all-new Ultimates number 6, all-new X-Factor number 12, Daredevil number 7, Sin, Deadly Hands of Kung Fu number 4, Deadpool Dracula Gauntlet number 7, Elektra number 5, Journey into Mystery by Gillen, trade paperback, nice. Loki Agent of Asgard, trade paperback volume 1, Magneto number 8, Ms. Marvel is getting a whole bunch of printings next week. Number 1 is getting a 6th printing. Number 4 is getting a 2nd printing, as is number 5. And number 7 hits stands. Nova number 20, Sin. I bet that there's going to be a lot of people picking that up. Secret Avengers number 7, Spider-Man 2099 number 1. That's a 2nd printing there. And Storm number 2. Hey, did you see this? Story over at Major Spoilers? Maybe you didn't, Matthew.
I did.
Ray Fox and Ben Temple Smith take on Gotham by Midnight, a new series coming out from DC Comics in November. Remember when Batman, they had this Batman series, I think it was part of the New 52. Maybe it was Detective Comics. I forget which series it was, but it was supposed to be like Batman taking on the supernatural. And it wasn't
that does sound
it wasn't weird. Wasn't very good. Maybe they still have it going on, I don't know. But I ended up dropping most of the Batman books. Well, in fact, all the Batman books except for Batman. After the couple of months of New 52 stuff. But they've got this series going on called Gotham by Midnight, and it features a bunch of detectives or a bunch of different people taking on the supernatural aspects of Gotham City. So here are some of the characters. So these are new characters. Detective Lisa Drake, Dr. Sansdor Tar, and Sister Justine, or Justin. And the title character in this piece, or the lead character in this piece, one Jim Corrigan. The Spectre. Yeah.
So they're going to have a new 52 Spectre.
Yeah, and it's Jim Corrigan.
Actually, I think they have had one in Phantom Stranger.
Now. Oh, maybe. I like this quote. Jim Corrigan's terrible secret is he carries the divine judgment of God around in his body, not of his free will. So he's better motivated than anybody to get involved whenever a big supernatural monster shows up on the scene. If he doesn't do something sooner than later, the Spectre is going to handle it, and he has the Old Testament way of handling things. We'll be seeing the Spectre here and there, but that's usually what happens when Corrigan messes up and doesn't get it handled in time. So it sounds kind of interesting, and the art by Ben Templesmith is going to be really cool.
It does sound interesting. We may have to look into that.
Yeah, that comes out in November.
Watch for it.
Yeah. Adventure Time number 31 comes out next week. Armor Hunter's Bloodshot number 2. I'm trying to find stuff that's like single issue stuff. No Afterlife with Archie. Man, I wish that book would come back quick.
Yeah, that last issue was a mind blower.
It was awesome.
Holy gazonga, that was scary.
Delinquents number 1 comes out. Dr. Spectre number 3. Empty Man number 3. Enormous number 3. Grim Fairy Tale, number 101. Grim Fairy Tale Robin Hood, number 1. That's an ongoing series. Hellraiser Bestiary, number 1. Hip Hop Family Tree, graphic novel, number 1 and 2. Justice Inc., number 1. Knights of the Dinner Table, number 210. Last Broadcast, number 4. Lego Legends of Chima, or Chima, I think it's Chima. Lovecraft Anthology Trade Paperback, Minecraft Official Mojang Combat Handbook, Mojang? I don't know what that is. What's a Mojang combat handbook, Matthew? You play the Minecraft, don't you?
My kid does.
So does my kid.
I don't know anything about it except they, you know, they're zombie sheep and creepers look inappropriate.
That's why I keep telling him that it's like, why do you spend so much time in Minecraft? Why don't you go play with real Lego?
It's quicker.
Today he had like a 30-minute conversation with me on the new upcoming Minecraft for Xbox One and how he can't wait till it comes out because it's got all this stuff on it. And he's telling me about it. And I'm like, I'm glad that you're into it because I don't know what the heck you're talking about when he talks about Enderman and all this other stuff.
Enderman.
That's what he says.
They make donuts, don't they?
Apparently there's a Slenderman skin for the Enderman. And he was trying to drop knowledge on me about how Slenderman and Enderman both are basically spelled the same way.
They are.
Slenderman.
That's a smart kid.
Steampunk BSG 1980, number
Battlestar Galactica 1980 Steampunk?
Steampunk 1980. This is something that was announced a while ago. This is coming out from Dynamite Entertainment. Steampunk BSG 1980. Or, I'm sorry, not 1980. 1880.
Oh.
You're going to want to grab that one, Matthew. I know it. I can smell it in the air.
That's not what you're smelling.
Too many beans for dinner. World of Archie Comics Digest number 42. Note price, $4.99.
That's a lot of money.
And if you are into WWE Slam City, the first graphic novel for that is $7.99.
Slam City.
So there you go. Those are just a small selection of the books that are coming out next week. Like I said, it looks to be a fairly small week.
Which is interesting. I really want to know what's going on.
I bet it's back to school, and with everybody busy to do stuff, they're not going to release very much.
Could be, I suppose.
All right, everybody, that wraps it up for this installment of Dueling Reviews. Thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing this with a friend. If you did like this show, head over to majorspoilers.com, use the comment section, and let us know your thoughts on Sex Criminals number 7, or anything that we've talked about in this episode. If you want to see the show continue, we do appreciate all of the Major Spoilers VIPs from around the world who help make this show possible. Whether you're a subscriber or not, this show is made possible by our VIPs. And if you want to find out more how you can become a subscriber, help support many of the other shows in the Major Spoilers Podcast Network and Major Spoilers itself, head over to members.majorspoilers.com. And until next time, keep looking to the skies because eventually that comet is going to fall and hit you on the head. Well, you want to be prepared.
I'm just saying, that's a great way to look at it, you know? There's a beautiful light in the sky. We're probably all going to die. I'm a poet.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.